Good morning, everybody, and I hope you had a fantastic weekend. My name is Coleman. I'm going to be your host for the Bitcoin Veterans Spaces. Today is Monday, the 16th, and this is episode 20. And there's definitely a lot of stuff that we're going to be covering today. There's definitely a busy weekend. So I look forward to hearing everybody and their opinions. Good morning, Shane. Good morning, Texas Toast. And good morning, Bob Van Kirk. How are you guys doing this morning?
Morning. Doing great. Wild weekend again. This 2024 doesn't disappoint.
No, not at all. I thought last weekend was a little bit quiet, but this weekend definitely made up for it. So yeah, we'll definitely cover that. And actually, I wanted to start the show off before we got into our mission statement. It was actually something you posted, Shane. And I think it's really important. And I don't want to paraphrase it. There's a twist. It was a tweet you put out this morning. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to go share it with everybody, just to make sure everybody understands that, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but this isn't the end of the world, and not to lose hope and don't go in that dark place we can all get into really quick. So this is from Shane Hazel. He said, hey, normal people out there, the ones that just want to raise their kids, love their spouses, live in peace, and keep the money they earn, I love you. We're going to beat the psyops, the violence, the propaganda, forced satanic pedo agenda, and the decisiveness and the fear. Darkness and hate have never stood a chance against light and love. We are not forsaken. We are being tested for something bigger. Humanity is about to usher in an era of independence, the world they may never experience before. Keep close to God and pray. And that was from Shane Hazel this morning. So Shane, again, I just want to thank you for posting that.
Yeah, you know, the mood struck a little bit last night. You know, I was in my nightly, you know, ritual of prayer. And, you know, it's one of those things where we see a lot. There's a ton of stuff going on. I think the psyops are, you know, ratcheted up to about, you know, 25 right now. And this is that point where I think a lot of people got to flex that muscle, you know, and this is the muscle of faith. If you can tap into it, and you can slow down and realize kind of what's happening to humanity right now, you realize that a lot of stuff is just, it's breaking down, and it's becoming apparent because it's old, it's archaic, it's not working. And when those things aren't working, and we can focus on, you know, where we're headed and what, you know, what is good in our life, the grace that we've been shown, the things that we do have, you know, whether it's food in our bellies, a roof over our head, all of these things that I think a lot of people, especially in Western culture, take for granted. It's so easy to start to realize, you know, that we are moving into a new phase of humanity. And I think that's because, you know, because everything is ready to move. We're looking at, you know, obviously new money, which is going to, you know, decentralize the world, which is going to do an amazing amount for independence and freedom. And there's a lot of work that's going to go with that. But, you know, this time is just it's a time of change, and the old system doesn't want to go out. The new system is trying to find its way. And, you know, if we're reliant and we start to try to, you know, really sit, you know, study and realize where this has happened in the past, a lot of times it's gotten tremendously better for the human condition. You know, the muck and the mire and everything else is we're advancing with technology. It's happening faster and faster and faster.
Yes, and just remember, it's going to seem to get crazier, and but that just means that we're getting over it. It means it's falling apart. So again, I want to thank Shane for allowing me to read that and for posting that this morning. But before we really start kicking things off, I want to make sure everyone understands the purpose of this show and what it is. And it is to defend the values that this nation was founded upon. And we need to make sure we champion decentralized, trustless systems that empowers the individuals in our communities. And we need to eliminate a central authority so we can advance the cause for a free and open society. And we're going to accomplish this goal by harnessing the power of Bitcoin and promoting this world where every individual has the undeniable right to control their own destiny, assets, and privacy. We do not support tyranny in any of its forms, and we will use our combined experiences and our passions to ensure that the promise of liberty thrives. We are veterans, we are Bitcoiners, and we are for freedom. And if you are a veteran, please reach out to us. Send us a DM, and we will get you connected with one of our communities. We have over 600 veterans with us, and we're constantly growing. So reach out to us, send us a message. We'll be happy to get back to you. And hoorah! Good morning, Jason, and good morning, uppercase Terrence.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you guys for jumping on here. I couldn't do it without y'all. It would just be me talking, and you can ask my wife. She gets pretty bored of that after a while. So I appreciate everybody's feedback and jumping up here. I saw Jordan jump up here on the Operation Libertas. Good morning, sir. So we do have, I think the biggest thing everybody's going to want to talk about today or hit on is going to be the Trump assassination attempt again that happened on Sunday afternoon. But there's a lot of other things that happened as well. So I'll just kind of get a quick vote on the panel and what we want to start off with. El Salvador just came out and said that they're not going to need to use any debt to finance their budget, which is huge. We had a Bitcoin miner shut down in Norway, and the energy prices skyrocketed. We have Blinken announcing that the Russian news media, RT News, needs to be banned, and we need to limit their access. And the Houthis apparently launched a hypersonic missile into Israel. So just a vote really quick. What do you guys want to start with?
Might as well rip the Band-Aid off on Trump. It's going to happen.
Let's get into it. So in case you had your head buried in the sand since yesterday, there was another assassination attempt on Trump when he was golfing at his golf course in Mar-a-Lago. The assassin, the attempted assassin's name was Ryan Wesley Routh, or Ruth. I thought it's convenient that he already has three names. He was spotted one hole ahead of where Trump was currently playing, about 300 to 500 yards away. The lead element for the Secret Service noticed that there was a rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and started engaging the suspect. Immediately, Ryan dropped his weapon and fled the scene. He was apprehended by local law enforcement about 30 to 45 minutes later when a local bystander spotted him entering his vehicle and gave it to local authorities. Sorry, I have some allergies going on, so I've got to keep clearing my throat. So there's a lot about this guy, and I find it fascinating at how quickly all this information was made available to us. I have some thoughts about what happened, but I definitely want to hear the panel's opinions and your thoughts on this guy and what's going on. So anybody jump in and go ahead and kick it off.
Well, I think news is still very fresh on this. We're still waiting for more information. So right now, some things are just kind of speculation. So I'll kind of preface all that with this. So one thing, apparently this guy was also in a BlackRock commercial, still yet to be verified that that's true or not. That just, if true, would be odd. But what's more interesting is that it's not like Trump's campaign announced that he was going to be golfing at this time and place. So how did this rando find out about that? The other one at least made sense. It was made public well in advance. So that's kind of some red flag. That's a big red flag right there. If the BlackRock commercial thing ends up being true, those are two pretty big red flags, in my opinion.
I don't know if it was BlackRock, but I posted the video of that's been circling online into the nest. And so it was from an Azov propaganda video that was released in 2022. The full propaganda video is about 2 minutes, but there's just a short 8-second clip I threw up there that shows him in there. But he was also arrested back in 2002 when he barricaded inside his office building. He had a roofing company, and he was arrested for possession of a concealed weapon and possession of a weapon of mass destruction, which was a fully automatic machine gun. And then he's had about a dozen to a dozen and a half misdemeanor charges over the last 20 years or so.
Doesn't he have a charge for weapons of mass destruction as well?
That was in 2002 when he barricaded himself. Yeah, it was a fully automatic weapon is what he had.
Oh, that's that, I guess we could probably wipe that one from the record if we're actually red-blooded Americans, right?
Absolutely. Those two are not actual crimes.
No, but yeah, I don't know what state he was
fully,
in.
It's fully semi-automatic.
Or fully functional. I mean, in real terms, right? We used to have the selector switch where we would joke about it as, you know, you got single fire or group therapy, and that one was group therapy.
They also, New York Times did wrote a profile on him back in 2023, condemning his efforts to try and get people to join the Ukrainian army. And then depending on how much you want to believe conspiracy theories, on Wednesday, Time Magazine posted a picture of Trump on his golf course with the words, quoting, "in trouble."
Yeah, I think this is where everybody needs to be real careful. I think, you know, anything that's going on with presidential elections right now is up for the debate. Is it a PSYOP or is it not a PSYOP? And if, you know, if we want to play this game, you know, this is where I think people need to tread, you know, carefully, be you know, just be patient with the whole thing. This guy, you know, it looks like, I don't know, maybe he had some sort of SKS or Dragunov or something on the side of the fence. You have one Secret Service, you know, member that says, "Oh yeah, I spotted a rifle barrel sticking out of the fence." That part of it seems extremely odd to me. I know, you know, there's reports that, you know, they hadn't released a schedule or this was a last minute change to a schedule. And how could this be? You know, if you suspend everything else, at this point, Trump has got a long, long history of making extremely bad appointments to the people and that surround him, first and foremost. And as a billionaire, this guy can, you know, he can buy the best protection that money can buy. And the fact that we're still looking at this and we have no answers, you know, really from the first assassination attempt, and now we've got this, you know, reported assassination attempt. I got to think that, you know, something here it doesn't smell right to me. None of this smells right. The first one obviously didn't smell right. The whole thing just reeks of some sort of PSYOP. And, you know, until, you know, more is uncovered, I think we need to be extremely slow in terms of going, oh, this person was this person was that. And, you know, who knows at this point?
And I agree with you, Shane. I think, I'm not doubting that he was out there, you know, going to cause ill harm to somebody. I'm just doubting if he was really going to do it or not. I personally believe, and again, I could be 100% wrong on this, but I believe that this is a false flag for some kind of distraction to focus everybody talking about this over the next 1 week, 2 weeks, however long our attention span is going to be. For the reason you said, Shane, there's a lot of things not adding up. How did he know that he was going to be there when it wasn't disclosed? And if you're going to take somebody's life, you need to be in a very certain mindset to do that. Like, that's a big act to do. And especially if you're going to take someone's life like a president, that's a huge person. And that's a huge decision to decide on. And from the photos that they released, he hung his backpack and a bag that had ceramic plates in it on the fence, which is, to me, is really strange. If you're already hiding, why would you put that up there so people could see where your position is? So that was the first one. And the second one is they saw his rifle poking out of the fence. So that, to me, tells me that he was ready to engage. I mean, he was ready to start laying down lead. But the second the Secret Service started engaging him, he dropped his rifle and ran. So my belief is that he was forced into doing it, but he had no intention of following through. And as soon as he had an opportunity to leave, he took it. And there seems to be a lot of information about him that was made available really quick that we didn't have on the first one.
Yeah. And I also, I agree with what you said that, like, he probably wasn't very committed. The fact that as soon as bullets started flying, he was like, "I'm out." I would suspect that he probably would have, if he had been undetected up until the point that Trump is in his crosshairs, and probably also had, you know, he had a fence there between him and anybody coming after him. So he probably felt safer because he had an exit strategy. So once things stopped going to plan, he was like, "Boop, I'm out." And according to reports that he was like very calm, cool, and collected when he was detained, because it was like, he didn't even ask, like, what is this about? It was just like, yeah, I know what this is about.
No, and if you're trying to stay concealed, the backpack on the fence is what really throws me for a loop. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's...
Yeah, but this guy's also not, like, trained or anything. Like, he probably thought, there's a bush behind me, I'm fine. I mean, you gotta put yourself in the mind of an idiot private that doesn't know anything. That sounds like something a private would do.
Possibly, and again, I could be 100% wrong with where I'm going with this. It just, to me, that those are just some red flags I'm seeing that just make me cause a lot of questions and push back. But again, I could be 100% wrong.
I mean, Coleman, you're absolutely onto it. And this is one of the things that didn't smell right to me at all, is this is kind of an impromptu assassination attempt, it seems like. And to be driving around and just have these things with you at a moment's notice, right, where you've got some ceramic plates, backpack, whatever it is, you've got two things that are hung on that fence, and, you know, the gun is obviously propped up in there. The report that they saw a barrel sticking out of the fence, well, was there no guy behind the barrel at the time? Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like, oh yeah, you know, we noticed either a large black silhouette on the side of the fence, which prompts the question, how did he know there was a first and foremost a fence where he was going to take the shot from anyway? Does he know this course, you know, well? Does he know that Trump plays it a lot? Like, all of these are questions that need to be answered, and I don't think we're going to get those. But it seems extremely odd to have those kind of things in an impromptu assassination attempt, ready to go, hang up on a fence. And like, you know, Jordan was saying, is, you know, if that's the case, it does make it look kind of like a Bush League, you know, guy that really doesn't understand what he's doing. Whereas if he was just lying there on the ground, you still can get shots off. It's just, like I said, this thing doesn't smell right. And trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense will continue to drive people crazy, where the brain wants to officially have a narrative for this. It's just, there's probably a psyop or something.
Yes. Well, I got a couple of questions here. So I have zero military background, first of all, right? So this is probably why for you guys, I think a lot of the panel here does, right? So there are things for you guys that are going to be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Whereas for the layperson with no combat training of any kind, these things are not obvious to us, right? So like the clipping the bag on the fence. Once you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, duh, that makes sense. But I would have never thought of that. So this is the first time I've heard anybody bring that up or be like, hey, that's weird. So, you know, thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, but, and that was kind of my point of like, you know, a stupid ass private that is brand new in the military may not know something like that. I'm not trying to say that you're stupid. Just things you don't think about until you have,
though, right? Maybe not stupid, call it ignorant, but there's no difference when it comes to the practical application of trying to do something like this, right? Like, if you're completely inexperienced and you just impromptu decide, I've got to do something about this, and you go out there, you know, this...
Did we lose Macro minutes?
Yeah, I lost them.
Hey, Macro, if you can hear us, we can't hear you anymore. So as soon as you can get back on, just let us know. But thank you for joining up. I see Dallas Rushing join the stage. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to figure out a little bit where you guys are in the conversation, jumping in kind of in the middle of it. But I did put a good thread up top in the nest that somebody did a pretty good job archiving all the interesting things about that shooter that I think are probably not going to be things that are heard in the mainstream. But yeah, nonetheless, pretty crazy. A lot of connections that seem kind of hard to ignore. But I'm appreciating the insight from some of you guys who have a military background on your perspective on stuff.
Dallas, do you mind going into some of those bullet points for us that you put up there?
Yeah, let me relook through it. So, you know, I mean, to my understanding, the guy was actively in some form of combat, like in Ukraine. You know, he's like obviously mentioned in articles with like Malcolm Nance. And you know,
I don't think he, okay. So just real quick, good to see Dallas. And I want to hear what you have to say, but on that specific point, I don't think he has any military experience. He just, voluntarily tried to organize 1,000 kind of military people to go into Ukraine and was tweeting that delusionally, the Secretary of Defense for resources and help.
Yeah, but he's literally mentioned, I'll show you the clip specifically. There's a New York Times article, one. Here, you can read that.
And it says he has no military. He doesn't have military experience, I don't think. He was just on his own as a civilian. He was delusional, tweeting at the Secretary of Defense for resources to support his idea and his like little organization to get 1,000 people to fight on behalf of Ukraine.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, look at the one I linked up there, and let me know if that's any different than what you're saying. Like I said, certainly not an expert on what's going on with it, but pretty crazy nonetheless. I mean, the guy, you know, was charged with like carrying concealed weapons, what they called a weapon of mass destruction, like a fully automatic machine gun in 2002, and I think got like no jail time for that. And you know, he was in a Azov Battalion commercial, BlackRock commercial, kind of like the other shooter. So very, very strange. And you know, I think there's some weird connections with some of these guys that seem to be, you know, mentally ill dudes that, you know, step into certain situations. Who knows why, if that's at their own direction or if there's the direction of some other things at play. You know, I guess I'm not aware of, you know, what kind of things everyone else is aware of that exist, that make people, you know, maybe do things they otherwise wouldn't do. But nonetheless, you know, I always leave room for like crazy lunatic who just wants to take an opportunity. But I don't know if you guys all got into just how strange it was that this guy happened to be right place, right time to where Trump was with for something that like wasn't on a public calendar, wasn't on a schedule, but like happened to kind of be at the right place. I know in the other arguments, like, well, you know, he golfs all the time. He might be at this particular place, but strange stuff nonetheless. Curious if you guys have any other insights, but don't want to speculate too hard.
No, we covered a little bit at the beginning, Dallas, I think probably before you jumped on. But you're right, there's a lot of questions right now. And again, most of it, this is good, at this point, is going to be some speculation. We're trying to stick to facts as best as I can see. And then if I'm interjecting with an opinion, I'm going to make sure I state that pretty well. But I think there has to be a stop to this, like a hard stop. And that's the thing that's alarming to me. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. If it was the right in power right now, and this is happening to the left, or vice versa, how it currently is, there has to be a bigger response from the White House, Biden, and Harris. They should be screaming from the top of their lungs right now that this needs to stop. There's no more violence. If you don't like Trump, take it to the election and vote. Violence and doing these actions are not acceptable. And that's where my frustration comes through. I checked just before we hopped onto the space. There's only been one comment from Harris, and Biden only had one comment as well. It was on a thread at the very bottom where they both said they need to stop the violence, but nothing from the official White House page. And that to me is infuriating. Again, there's no reason for this to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, here's what's, I guess, somewhat ironic about this is, you know, all these people coming out from the state, and whether it's Democrats or Republicans, saying there's no place for, you know, violence in the political system. Like, our political system is obviously based on force and coercion. It's based on violence. And so for anybody to tweet, you know, out that, hey, from the state, especially on high, that there's no place for political violence, well, it rings a bit hollow from all of those guys.
No, I agree with you with that, but I think they need to start saying it so it's stop. It's going to help slow down anybody that's not being co-opted or doing a psyop. Like, if there's just some lunatic out there listening to this and they're like, you know what, they're telling me to go ahead and stop Trump, well, I'm going to take it upon myself. For those people, they need to start spreading that message a little harder.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. That's against their interest.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying that's what we should be hearing. That should be the feed. That should be the talking points right now. Is let's start this.
Yeah, I agree with Operation Libertas. I think the reality is, and this is going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people, definitely myself included, but it's kind of where I've landed at now, which is that I just don't see this de-escalating in any meaningful way. It just appears to keep ratcheting up. And I think it's going to continue to ratchet up. And if you look at it with some historical context for what a lot of Bitcoiners are already well aware of, which is various demographic and societal issues, because the money's been broken for a long time now. But, you know, you look at the age that people are getting married or not doing so at all, and just the harsh reality that a lot of people literally can't afford to have a good quality of life anymore. I think you're eventually just going to hit this point where, and we may be very close to it already right now, where people just go, screw it, we're going to, you know, flip a coin here and just see what happens, rather than trust the process and believe in the system that's effectively let most of them down. So I don't know. I think even them calling for a reduction in violence probably doesn't lead to the outcome that they would be supposedly supporting. And sometimes, I mean, granted, none of us have ever been alive in a revolutionary time, because nothing like that has happened in generations, but everything you read about them, people talk about there just being a rising societal tension leading into whatever violence is that ends up happening. And I don't know, I can't help but feel like there's, at least over the last 5 years, this continual just rise in tension. And it's hard for me to exactly put my finger on what it is or what's causing it. And obviously there's probably a large number of things, but I don't know. I feel like no matter what they say, people at this point are already where they're at a place of not talking to each other anymore. And that's the scariest, most dangerous thing in my eye is, like, I don't have friends that cross the political spectrum anymore. And I used to, but a lot of people just are self-segregating now. And to me, that's like the last step before things get kinetic, but I'll just stop there.
I agree with everything you said, except for the fact, except for the point that none of us have lived through a revolution. We're living through it right now.
Yes.
We have not seen one come through its full cycle. Let me put it that way. we haven't seen one start to finish in our lifetimes.
No, but make no mistake, this is definitely the start of one. And I think you said it right, Macro, is this, I don't see a way where this ends peacefully. Hey, Terrence, you got your mic on, bud. Uppercase.
Yeah, I'm about to speak.
Yeah, just give me a second, bud. I don't see a way that this ends peacefully. Doesn't matter who wins in November. If we have this going on right now before the election, you're going to have a hard 50-50 split on November 6th that half the country is going to be upset, or maybe even a little bit later because it takes a while to release the results. But you're going to get half the country who doesn't believe the results and they think the other side cheated, or the other half is going to go up in arms because they think it's the end of the world and Trump's going to destroy the union. So I just make sure, again, I'm not saying that it's going to be chaos, but just make sure you have plans and just make sure that, again, you think things through.
I appreciate the sentiment. I don't really see that happening. Civil war, there's zero deaths related to politics so far. Trump has had 2 assassination attempts. That's unacceptable. Hold on,
Terrence.
Biden, let me finish. Biden just said, this is a part you guys are missing. You guys miss a lot of news. Thank God the president's okay. This is on video. I posted it in the Nest. One thing I want to make clear, the Secret Service needs more help. I think Congress should respond to their needs. I think they need some more personnel. I think everyone here can agree that Trump should have the same level of Secret Service protection as Biden. I think we can agree on that. What I want to know is, do we agree that Kamala should have also the same level of Secret Service protection as Trump and Biden? Like, just they all get the same level of protection, which is the top level.
No.
No.
Those two have not had 2 near misses. And Terrence, you had 2 different individuals at 2 different dates try and take out a presidential candidate. Like, that's extreme chaos. That I don't know how you don't see that that's being extreme, or that's not going to result in violence. Like, had the first shooter just had even just 2 centimeters changed it, the bullet hitting, yeah, we would be in a completely different state right now.
I mean, a guy literally
I agree.
Trump's crowd.
Can I respond?
Did he not?
Say that again, Dallas.
A guy in the crowd at Trump's event died. Did we forget about that?
And that was terrible. What I'm talking about, that's a good point. So I missed that. What I'm talking about is in terms of insurrection or civil war or things like that, obviously the society has become very polarized. But I would think that we would have more early warning signs where more people would be actually dying.
I think the insurrection and early warning signs that you're overlooking are these two assassins.
Well, and yes. I also and, think and, there's and
not a, with so we've had presidents assassinated before successfully, whether it's JFK, RFK, others, presidential candidates and presidents successfully assassinated, and there's been no civil war, correct? So unfortunately, being a president or running for president is extremely dangerous. There are two attempts on Gerald Ford's life, President Ford, when he was president, 2 in 18 days. Obviously, that was unacceptable and did not lead to civil war.
Well, I think at the same time, when those things happened, society was a lot more cohesive than it is now. And there was not the underlying tensions that you currently have. I mean, when JFK was assassinated, the U.S. was about as cohesive and stable as it's ever been, right?
Yeah, that's fair. I think Gerald Ford would be a better example because it was maybe in response to him pardoning Nixon.
Go ahead, Jordan. We're so kind. First of all, go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I think, one, you're conflating something. Like, just, we're not saying that because there was assassination attempts, that means there's civil war. There's already, you could take both of those out of the picture, and people were already talking about it. There's just something going on in the culture. We're not pushing for it. So just those two things can be completely separate. But also, people conflate war in general as they're like being shooting and killing all the time, where 99% of war, like even in the worst parts of Afghanistan and Iraq, 99% of it is calm, nothing happening, and then spurts of absolute violence breaking out, and, you know, five streets over, everything's peaceful and calm. There's just a it's not like war every single street, somebody shooting. That's just not
I understand mostly peaceful in Afghanistan where thousands of people died or however many people died there, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Afghans and way too many American soldiers. But that's compared to the U.S. where the President Trump was almost killed twice. However, no other deaths outside of that. So it is serious. He does need protection. Maybe he does need more protection than Biden and Kamala. I'm open to that because of the two assassination attempts. That makes sense. I would elevate the protection for Kamala as well, though, just to Biden's level.
Oh,
so maybe Trump gets more than Biden and Harris. Biden and Harris are about the same.
When I was saying no, I don't think anybody else needs as much protection as the president, I meant like they don't need more protection. They don't. There's a big difference between the resources that go to protect
president. Why would you not increase protection for Kamala?
Why stop there then? Why not every member of Congress all gets their own motorcade? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Only Trump and Kamala are realistically going to be elected the next president. Of course, that's different from some congressperson from bumfuck California or whatever.
I like that you use California for that. I mean, I think it's kind of a waste of argument to debate like racist. If Kamala should or shouldn't. Like, personally, for me, if it just ends the argument, like, okay, she's running for president, great. Throw a little more security her way. Like, it's just not worth debating it. To be honest with you guys, but yeah, I don't know.
It makes you guys look very biased because we've had two close assassination attempts on a major presidential candidate.
But I don't understand what you're saying.
There are people who hate Kamala.
Hey, Terrence, just a second.
There are people who hate Kamala.
Hey, yes? Terrence, just a second. James has his hand up, and I think Jordan was just finishing up his comment.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like you're saying that we're biased because we think Trump needs more protection. I'm saying, neither of them need it.
Just kind of address this whole Civil War scenario where plausible. You know, right now is a different time than where we've been, and I know it's kind of addressed, but you got to look at where people are. Like, and it's not the, you know, the upper middle class, middle, or it's none of this. It's what are people used to, and where were they comfortable versus where are they now? And when you start to factor in inflation and tax and abuse of the system that continues to ask for more and more and more and more and more from the average everyday American that just wants to live peacefully. It's what we covered at the beginning of the show, right? It's like, hey man, the people that want to raise their kids and love their spouse and live a peaceful life that can't do that while putting every ounce of, you know, effort they have into what they've always done. That's where you're starting to get more and more people on the margin. You're moving them out of this area of comfort, and you're moving them into this area of, I don't want to say fear, maybe some for fear because they're not going to be able to put, you know, food on their table. They're not going to be put clothes on their back, and the resentment and understanding of why that happened. You're paying more to the federal government every year than you are for your bills for your home, for clothing your kids, for putting food on the table. That breeds a extremely, and I think it's a healthy resentment of the power structure. Now, I think Coleman, you said half the country is Trump, half the country is Kamala. I would kind of want to correct that too, is you've got about 20% of the people in America that are Republicans and 20% of the people in America that are Democrats. And then the other 60% of it kind of sucks. And I think that number is growing. So when you have 60% of the people that say it sucks, and you also have a president who's being shot at on now what's kind of a regular basis, it's not that we are destined for civil war, but the probability of a violent conflict here in the United States between opposing forces is growing drastically. And the deadfall here is if you happen to get Trump, right? If they happen to shoot Trump, what you're talking about is taking away a little bit of hope for that entire MAGA nation, right? Like they really look at this guy and go, hey man, if we don't get this guy in office, we are definitely fighting. Like the election is going to be stolen. We don't trust the media. We don't trust the government. We don't trust anything. And the evaporation of trust, the erosion of trust in everything, right down to the military, which used to be the hardest thing to lose trust in, like people have lost it because they forced anybody that wouldn't get a jab out. So now you start to combine all of those things in the assassination of President, you know, of former President Trump. That's what could send this whole thing up. And that's, I think, exactly what they need and what they want in terms of now starting to use kinetic force. Like Jordan was saying, most of what war is not kinetic force. It's psyops, it's economic, it's all these other things to start breeding that resentment, that distrust, that hate, that fear that must be present to have a hot conflict. And that's where we're sitting right now, is we are on the doorstep of major, major violence, especially if they go and they actually assassinate Trump.
Yeah. You're 100% right, Shane. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the rule of 10, right? You don't need the majority of a population to go to war. You only need 10%.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the American Revolution, for example, most people didn't fight, right? Like it really was a pretty small percentage of the population, but that small irate minority is all it took to actually get massive change occur. And I think the point that I was kind of trying to make was, if you look at like the start of World War One, it wasn't the actual assassination that started off the whole thing. I mean, that may have been the match that lit, but there was a bunch of fuel all around. And the point that I guess I was trying to get at is like, it doesn't necessarily, it's not the assassination. And I think this is kind of the point maybe you were making, Terrence. When JFK got assassinated, for example, well, if there's no fuel around there and you light a match and throw it in the middle of a parking lot, nothing happens. But if you light a match and you throw it into an oil tanker, well, you're going to get a big boom.
And that's the...
You have your classic neocons who are still in power right now, who are trying to not lose the Republican Party, but I would argue they've already lost it. You know,
yeah,
it
I agree. It's a matter of
them getting voted out.
And they're going to try to take it back, right?
Can I ask you a question?
If Trump loses.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, Dick Cheney supporting Kamala? How do you internalize that? I'm curious, as somebody who, obviously I know you got like the Harris victory going, but I'm curious, like, the most, you know.
Yeah, I can't hear whoever's talking. I'm going to leave and come back.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, he's just, you know, the most establishment, uniparty, neocon, Republican, whatever evil sort of word of the people who suck in politics you want to throw on him, possible, right? Lied America into war, led to thousands of deaths. It's just, you know, just literally, I mean, one of the best examples of like what's wrong with America, supporting Kamala and then her sort of bragging about getting that endorsement. Like, how do you feel when you hear that? I'm curious.
So I don't agree with a lot of what the Harris campaign does. I'm not a registered Democrat and I'm not a progressive at all. I'm not even center left. But anyway, that was terrible. But I think the reason they're doing it politically, like she just wants to win, just like Trump, his advisors want him to win. I think Trump sometimes just says what he wants to say and he's like, F you, this is who I am. I got to the presidency by being authentic. The election was stolen from me in 2020. I'm saying this is what he thinks and that now he's, you know, going to be authentic again. So he's not always listening to his debate advisors or the polls or whatever. But anyway, so I think Harris and her campaign, they really want to win. So they're using that to say to undecided voters who, you know, are obviously can't decide between Trump and Harris and swing states. They're like, hey, look, here's more and more Republicans that some of whom you voted for, some of whom you respect, maybe you supported the Iraq war, maybe you thought they were WMDs, whatever, even though Cheney's very unpopular with 90% of America, 70% of America, I don't know what the number is, but maybe it can swing some swing voters over because you do have a lot of establishment and neocon Republicans, maybe they're the same thing. I think there's a difference between, like, establishment Republicans includes neocons, but also business Republicans and others. And they are also, a lot of them are supporting Harris. So that's kind of the bigger news. But yeah, when you have a former vice president switching parties to endorse maybe the most unpopular vice president ever before Harris supporting the most unpopular vice president ever, which is Kamala, maybe that's news. And I think they think it gets some votes, so that's why they're doing it. Maybe it raises some money, too, from some wealthy Republicans that are anti-Trump.
Before you go, Jordan, I just want to welcome AC and Dombe to the stage. Good morning, gentlemen.
I just wanted to say real quick, I think it's the uniparty versus the independents. I mean, think about how Trump, however you want about Trump, but he's really just an independent that used the Republican Party to run. And now he's got the Tulsi Gabbards and the RFK Juniors. That's really what it's breaking down to. And we're going to see a schism in political alignments. And it's not going to be just as clean what we think of as left-right break. And that's part of this revolution that we're living in now, too.
I will say that if President Trump wins, I hope we have a break, so that the break is between authoritarianism and warmongering versus freedom and libertarianism. That would be awesome. But I'm not sure that will happen, because to me, he exhibits authoritarian tendencies. Even though he didn't start new wars, he did escalate conflicts and send more troops to certain parts.
Yeah, but then it's just all like a dog whistle thing. You know what I mean? It's all this like vain, like trying to make something fit, but there's no evidence, but we know it's there. And it, you know, again, like I'm not somebody who just thinks Trump is without flaws. Like we talked about it a bunch, Terrence. He's got a lot of them for sure. One in particular, he allowed a lot of really stupid people in his administration, you know, Jeff Sessions, Barr, all these people, you know, many more to count, right? And part of that was inexperience. Part of that is, I think, really high IQ people who are not good actors know how to weasel their way into his inner circle. And so until proven otherwise, I'm not super confident he's going to like
you know, not have some of those flaws. But again, it's like, you know, I think it's just such a clear divide of, you know, do you support the Uniparty? And I think Dick Cheney supporting Kamala is not because, you know, Trump is just evil and wants to be the new Putin. I think it's because she's pro-war, and I think they have a lot of aligned interests with the people that, you know, those interests align irrespective of whatever party that they happen to represent or they're registered as. And hoping that Kamala or whoever is going to come around and like be, you know, somebody who makes good policy or something that's beneficial for a, like our industry or even like the world more broadly, I think that's just a absolute waste of time in my humble opinion. And you're expecting, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, you know, the devil to just, you know, stop wanting to be evil and just kind of figure things out. And they sort of can't. And people like Kamala, they're replaceable. They don't have real opinions. They're told what to say, where to stand, and what they're going to be saying. And, you know, you're not actually voting for her. You're voting for the system behind her. And it's the same system that represents Biden. And it would be the same system, you know, maybe with some different faces that would represent Jeb Bush if he was president, or whatever, you know, Uniparty candidate you want to put in there. And those people have really hurt America a lot and are certainly going to take it in a worse direction. You know, it's not the end of the world if she wins, just like it wasn't the end of the world if Biden won. The U.S. system is pretty, you know, anti-fragile in many ways, but that is that way until it isn't. And I think people are really playing with fire, expecting, hey, let's hedge our bets here. And like, if, you know, maybe if Kamala does get in, we can convince her with some money to sort of like, you know, do things that are favorable for our industry or our people. It's just, I just don't see it. And, you know, I would rather hear what feels like, you know, comes from a truthful place from somebody I disagree with than just a total manufactured lie headline that sounds nice, but there's just a clear disconnect of the action behind those words. And I think that's kind of the distinction of what we're dealing with here. And Trump actually has some good people around him. So I want those people to get more power in the U.S. and hopefully try to at least not take us in a bad direction at such a quick pace.
Absolutely. Way to go, Dallas. So I'm going to go ahead and start switching gears here, as there's some other major developments that happened over the weekend I'd like to hit on. But I do want to thank everybody for their opinions and thoughts on the Trump assassination attempt.
Sorry for the TED Talk.
No, you're good. I appreciate it. I like hearing everybody's feedback. So the big thing I want to touch on, I think it's pretty crazy, and it's a good example, was the in Norway, in Hadsel, I can't even say this, Hadsel Municipality, I apologize, it's Monday. It's about a town of 8,000 people. They forced a Bitcoin miner to shut down over the last week. And because of this, the energy prices went up 20% for everybody in that municipality. The reason that they wanted to shut down this miner was because that there was a noise complaint over the last several years, and that the people of the town, when they found out how much energy the miner was using, complained that it was wasted energy. And now they have to live with the results of a 20% increase in their electrical bill. And I think this is a really good example of how incorporating Bitcoin miners into your electrical grid can really help offset those costs. And so I'd like to hear anybody's thoughts on that.
Is anybody talking? If not, I'll start off.
Go for it, Macro.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I just think, you know, this is much more in my wheelhouse than the first topic. So I just want to say, like, I love the fact that something like this is so directly able to be tied to people's electricity bills, first of all, being lowered by Bitcoin mining being there, clearly, because when they turned it off, they all got raised. And it helps support the infrastructure, right? There's a lot of the time, a lot of people just don't know this because they're ignorant of how grids work. There's a lot of the time where power is being produced and just not used. And so if you can have somebody come in there and buy up that power, it's going to lower the cost of operating the whole system. It's very straightforward once you actually understand how all this stuff works. But unfortunately, most people don't, and they just see, oh, energy use, and then they've been brainwashed into thinking energy use is bad, and so they go Bitcoin mining bad because Bitcoin mining use energy, so turn it off, and then they pay the consequences immediately. So I did see one post on X. I wish I knew who it was so I could give them credit, but I saw it while I was scrolling the other day, and they just said that Bitcoin even fixes stupid decisions because people have to pay the consequences more immediately. It was basically like, you know, turn it off and immediately have your electricity bills go higher. So it even fixes stupid decision making. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I was surprised at how quickly their energy bills increased. I found that part very interesting. But I'm very fascinated with the whole mining sector and how it's incorporated in the electrical grid and how beneficial it is for everything. And I really like these real-life cases where if people are asking, we have now evidence, and we can just point them in that direction. Go look what happened in Norway. They didn't like the Bitcoin miner. They thought it was using too much energy. Let's circle back in 6 months and see how they feel about it, the citizens of that town. And I bet you they'll start thinking a little bit differently, because that's a huge increase. I was reading it was going to increase about $200 to $300 a year for these people. So
it is significant. It's also $300 a year, or about 20-some dollars a month increase in the electric bills. I'm not sure what the average person pays there per month. I don't know if it's $100 or $50. But yeah, substantial increase.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, it was interesting to see that it did happen that quickly. I know there's a lot of different models for how pricing works on various grids around the world, so I assume it had something to do with that. Perhaps it's some sort of total percentage. I don't even know. There's a lot of different ways it could be done, but it sounds like what they're doing is probably just averaging out that... trying to think of the right way to put this. You basically have a certain amount of capacity you can be generating. You're generating that all the time, and you are basically charging all of the users a flat rate, and that flat rate is divided up among all of the demand. And so if you lose some demand, you're still producing the same, such that your remaining people on the grid have to pay more immediately when a large demand gets shut down, if that makes sense. I think that's probably why it so quickly was reflected on their bills, but I could be completely wrong there. So just a thought.
And this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this could increase significantly for the citizens if they have a more extreme winter, correct? Because it would increase their energy costs. Because right now it's summer, and summer up north there, they probably have zero electrical costs because the weather's so perfect. So, but again, I'm going to put a note for myself to circle around on this in about 6 months to check, as I think this is going to be really interesting to see how it goes for these people.
Yeah, it does depend. I know that I think they have a lot of hydro up there, so I don't know if they have as much of an intermittency issue as some of the rest of Europe does, because a lot of Europe has shut down a lot of their reliable generation and has tried to put on wind and solar. And wind and solar in Northern Europe doesn't work all that great. The windmills freeze, and there's not much sun in Northern Europe in the wintertime. So I don't know. We'll see. There's definitely a pro-nuclear movement happening among a lot of Europe as well. But unfortunately, it takes a while to get something like that to actually have meaningful impacts on the end users. So in the meantime, you're probably likely to see price swings. That Europe got lucky last winter because they had a pretty mild winter. So there was systemic stress and a coiled spring for high prices for energy in Europe last year. It just didn't come to fruition because there had just a pretty mild winter. So if we do get a cold winter in Europe, then I think you're going to see a lot more chaos, especially now with, you know, the situation with Russia, them not being able to get cheap gas in the same level of abundance they did before. Is an issue, although I've heard some people say that they're still kind of getting it. It's just through roundabout ways. So I don't know. I'm not an expert in the distribution of hydrocarbons, but it seems to me that if you're at war with somebody, you're probably not going to want to buy oil from them, but
unless you're forced to, and that's kind of what it is for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so another real-life scenario how Bitcoin fixes things, I mentioned earlier, El Salvador's President Bukele just came out and said that they will no longer require external debt to finance their budget. and has achieved financial independence. And I think that's amazing because just the thing was 3 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, that they had an IMF loan that they thought they were never going to be able to pay it back, or the IMF thought they weren't. And now they're financially independent. And I think that's just an amazing story to hear about this country. So we can use that term, Bitcoin does fix this. I see Gabe Lord in the audience. Good morning, sir. If you're able to come up, we'd definitely like hearing what you'd have to say. But we are getting to the top of the hour. So does anybody have any last minute comments or anything that we didn't cover today that you'd like to touch on?
Real quick, I have a prediction to make that geothermal energy, apparently the technology is improving because of what we learned from fracking. So that might be something that's more popular. Nuclear energy is pretty unpopular with female voters, including cat ladies in America. So maybe more geothermal in the U.S.
Look, I'm trying to convince them, Terrence, but it's taken a while. I'm sorry. I don't get that many cat lady listeners on my show on Thursdays. So if you can help me with that, maybe you can figure out how I can reach these people, but they just don't show up.
Some of them do follow me a little incessantly to the point of stalkerism, so I'll send them your way.
Macro, yeah. You know better. Come on. You know I know people in that world.
The cat lady world?
It's got fracking in it.
We should probably just repeal the 19th Amendment.
I am not on board with that, for the record.
Hey, good morning, BitPetra. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. I actually do have some really awesome contacts in that world through the military, of all things. One of my advisors in a project that I was working on was a general in the Air Force. I'm not going to dox him, but he introduced me to Sage Geosystems. He's an advisor for them. And they have had some pretty successful tests. I think the last time I spoke with them, they were at 10 cents a kilowatt market price for all in single well conversions. So that's really awesome.
That is awesome. I do want to just give a quick shout out to our partners. Please make sure you go give them a check at Black Sheep Ammo. Check them out at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi. Have a home Bitcoin miner, check them out at solosatoshi.com. And Punchplate, check them out at punchplate.com. A hard punch your seed phrase on a metal stamp. And our newest partner, Palladium Tower Tactical. Check them out at palladiumtowertactics.com.
Are you saying, Coleman, I should not have my seed word on a post-it note on the fridge?
Only if you screenshot and send it to me.
Okay, yeah, just give me a couple of seconds.
Thank you, sir. No, make sure you put everything on a metal plate. It's probably a good time just to go over for everybody. You should definitely have it set up once a month where you go over, make sure you know your seed phrase, you know how to get back into your hardware wallets. It's good just to make sure you know how to do those things. Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to hit on today?
Yeah, I just want to say my Terrence Squared app alarm went off. That's why I saw I was late, but it went off saying that there was two Terrences on the stage. And so I have an app and it gives me a notification and then automatically adds me to the space. So sorry I was late, but I just wanted to say hi. And it's automatic. It forces my phone on the space when there's two Terrences. So
well, make sure you share that with the space, Dombey, so we can make sure all the listeners download it so they have no excuse not to miss any of these episodes.
For sure. It's in beta. It's a super exclusive kind of I got an invite, I think, from some government official that didn't even dox who they were. So pretty cool thing. But when it becomes public, I'll definitely share in the nest.
Excellent. Make sure it's KYC'd.
Hey, Dom, is
an AML.
You can share, because I know you just got back from Wyoming, but I wasn't even sure what you were doing over there. No? No sharing? Or I can't hear you.
I was trying to get a loan from Custodia Bank.
Hey, I will say this. I don't know if any of y'all are in town, but make sure to send some Bitcoin veterans, like whether it's some displays or stuff that we can throw on the promenade for the Bitcoin peer-to-peer festival. We'll definitely put that up and support.
Are there any Bitcoin veterans left in California? Maybe they can come in person.
Yeah, you know, Terrence, they still have San Diego as a stronghold, dude.
That's a good point.
Hey, Dombey, when is this?
It's going to be October 18th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m.
All right. We'll talk on the back channels to see if we have anything that we can get up to real quick so we can have a presence there.
Yeah, I mean, send a spotlight or something. It'll be daytime, but I think if I shine it in the sky, you know, depending on the color scheme, it will kind of draw some veterans there. So, again, yeah, anything that y'all can send, I definitely want to put some stuff up and make sure I support y'all.
Man, we should just get crayons with the Bitcoin veterans logo on it, and we'll get everybody from Pendleton over there.
Dude, we need to do a Universal style show with like zip lines where there's like blanks being fired off. And it was like, dude, this is nuts, man. I went to the promenade. It was crazy.
So Wednesday, if anybody is in DFW, we'll be doing a little pickleball Bitcoin meetup action if you guys want to come out.
Where is this at?
Fort Worth, Texas. We'll be doing it over at the Courtside Kitchen, which is a pickleball venue.
Dude, that's awesome. And on that note, we should be dropping an announcement this week involving that festival we're having. Bitcoin and pickleball, those two communities are going to converge, and they're both insane. And they both are, once the pickleballers find Bitcoin, I think Bitcoiners already have found pickleball, but I mean, I think we're going to adopt the entire pickleball community as Bitcoiners, and they're it's like in Braveheart, you know, when they're charging the Irish and they're about to, you know, kill each other, and they stop in the middle of the field and they're like, ah, yeah, man, you know, shaking hands. I think those communities collide.
For everybody listening, make sure you clear your schedule for July of next year. The rumor is that we're going to have Bitcoin event in Juneau, Alaska at the start of July. And we're starting to see some of the events that we have planned trickle through. And it looks like it's going to be an amazing event. So definitely start thinking now, start clearing your calendar out. And if you've never been to Alaska in the summer, it's amazing. And having a Bitcoin conference in Alaska in the summer is just going to be awesome. So make sure you start clearing out your space.
I posted in the Nest a link to LA Bitcoin Week, which includes Dombey's event that's going to be in Santa Monica, where Dombey and others helped get the Santa Monica Bitcoin office started. There's a good package with a free night that I think is the best deal for events and free hotel.
Awesome. Thank you, Uppercase Terrence, for posting that. And I think on that note, we're going to go ahead and call it a wrap. I do want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. For everybody who joined up here on the panel today and contributed with their thoughts, their opinions, everybody in the audience, Wade, I see you out there. Everybody I haven't mentioned, and everybody who just had us on the background just to get those voices out of your head, I really do appreciate it. We're here every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Time. Make sure you check us out tomorrow, Tuesday. The Bitcoin veterans are going to have a podcast. I'll let you know later who the guest is going to be coming on, but that'll be at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And make sure that you get on the mission. It's Bitcoin or tyranny. And I think the choice is pretty clear.